This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. Again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on the website. You can read my weekly meditation there. There's other information on the website that you might find helpful. If you'd like to contact me with comments about the program or with prayer requests, you can do that either through the website or you can do it by regular mail. So if you would like those addresses, get a pencil and a piece of paper out, and I'll write the addresses down for you at the close of the program. Now today we're going to go back to Luke chapter 19, and we're going to begin our reading with verse 11. We talked about Zacchaeus, who was saved. He was one of the lost people who was saved. And in verse 11, after we read those words, "Now the Son of Man, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost," then we read, "Now as they heard these things, he spake another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately." I think what this means is that his disciples were expecting the Lord to rule as a king over a physical kingdom immediately. And as we have tried to explain in previous programs, that didn't happen. The Lord was crucified. Over his cross was the accusation, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." He was rejected as far as the Jews were concerned, and as far as the Gentiles were concerned, he was rejected with regard to the earthly kingdom. He had made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He had presented himself as the coming king, but while there was a multitude who, at the time that he made his presentation on Palm Sunday, while there was a multitude that would have made him king at that time, likely most in that multitude who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover week, most in that congregation, likely by the end of the week, were crying, "Crucify, crucify." So the kingdom of God was not going to appear immediately. Verse 12 then says, "Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." So the Lord had to go into the far country to receive this kingdom. The Jews were expecting to come immediately, and then he would return. And we're in that period of time right now where the nobleman has gone into the far country. I think this story was based on actual historical event that took place, but obviously the nobleman here represents the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's telling his disciples that he's going to leave and go into a far country, and the far country is heaven, and he's going to return, and when he returns, then he's going to set up the kingdom that they were expecting, because he has been rejected as king now. And the interesting thing is that the Old Testament had made it clear that this was going to happen. The Old Testament spoke of the sufferings of Christ and of the glory that would follow. And so we have Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 passages in Zechariah speaking of the Lord and his suffering. And yet the Jews couldn't understand how their Messiah could suffer before he could reign. And so even his disciples were confused about that. So this certain nobleman goes into the far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return, and he calls 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas and said to them, "Do business till I come, or occupy till I come." And I think those 10 servants represent people that really did believe in the Lord and that he could leave behind to do his business. And the apostles would be amongst those. There were 12 of them. Of course, one of them betrayed the Lord, but there was another man who replaced him. And of course, we have Paul, who also was an apostle out of due season. And so I think the 10, while it doesn't represent a literal number, it represents a figurative number. There were going to be usually 10 means many servants who were who the Lord was going to be able to commit a work to while he was gone, and they were to do business till I come. And see, all through the scriptures, the Lord has promised to come again. He promised to come the first time, while it wasn't clearly understood, the first time to be a sacrifice for our sins, but he's coming again. There are many aspects, as I've said before, to his coming again, but one thing that's going to happen is he's going to look at the servants that he's left behind, and he's going to judge them for the faithfulness they've had in occupying or doing business till he returns. Now, that the Lord is going to return is a certainty. If the Lord can say that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved, and if that's a certainty, then when he says, if I go away in John 14, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that has to be a certainty also. And while we're not saved by works, James says, you show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. We're saved by grace. We can't do anything to deserve God's salvation. But if we are saved, we show that we're saved by our works, and there is no way that we have the right to tell people we're Christians if our works imply that we're living like people that are under the dominion of Satan and his rule. We should be different from the world. We should be different from those who have never trusted Christ. We show our faith by our works. And so the Lord says, do business till I come. Well, what kind of a business are we supposed to do till he comes? He's left us a commission, and he's told us, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And if we carry out that commission, we are doing our business until the Lord comes. And since the disciples are not here now today, and the Lord still has not come, that command to occupy till he comes has to be a command to those of us who are saved today. Now, we're not trying to establish an earthly kingdom. I spent time on that before, and I made it clear that the church on this earth is not the kingdom that's being referred to here. It's not the millennial kingdom. And I know that there has to be some of you who are thinking about Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, where the Lord tells Peter, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And he had asked Peter, he had said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter had said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter did business while he was alive by proclaiming the truth that he was not the chief cornerstone, but the Lord was the chief cornerstone, and that we needed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter never ruled over a physical earthly kingdom. And I've tried to point out that no physical earthly kingdom has ever been without sin, and has never had sin judged righteously. It's never seen a time when Satan was bound and so sin could be restrained as it's going to be during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. So what does Peter have authority over? Well, he has authority over the early church, for one thing. We see in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira lying against the Holy Spirit, and Peter standing there and saying, thou hast lied against the Holy Spirit, and they fall down dead because they had covetously kept money and that they said they had given to the church. And so it may be that in that sense, Peter has the rule, has the ability to discipline the early church, but he was never a ruler over a kingdom. And there are some people who think that the church today is the kingdom, the physical kingdom, and they're amillennialists, and they don't see a real kingdom that is coming. But Peter didn't rule over that. What Peter did is he opened the door by preaching the gospel to the kingdom, which is a spiritual kingdom now. And he preached the gospel, and those that were bound on earth were loosed on earth, were loosed in heaven. If a person was saved here on earth, then he was saved as far as God was concerned in heaven. And I really believe that probably this matter of binding and loosing has to do with the preaching of the gospel. Some have to believe it has to do with discipline in the early church. I'm not going to take a hard and fast position on that, but I know Peter never saw himself as the head of an earthly kingdom. He opened the door to a spiritual kingdom, and he did have great influence over things that took place in that spiritual kingdom. And so Peter occupied till he came, he was occupying till the Lord came, and of course he died, and so he's passed the baton on to others, and today we're, as Christians, supposed to be occupying till the Lord comes. One of the ways we occupy till the Lord comes is by proclaiming his death till he comes in the communion bread and communion wine. As oft as ye do this, ye do proclaim the Lord's death till he come. And just in doing that, we are memorializing the Lord till he comes, so that unbelievers will know that the Lord that we worship is not dead. The Lord that we worship is living. And he is coming again, and he has gone into a far country, but he is going to receive a kingdom in that far country and return, and he's going to set up that kingdom on this earth. We're not part of that today. We look forward to that, but we're not part of that today. There has been no kingdom on earth that represents that period of time when Satan will be bound, and there has been no one put in charge of a kingdom on this earth of that nature, because it's the Lord himself who's going to be in charge of that kingdom, and it's going to be a kingdom where righteousness dwells. And so the question we have is, do we love the Lord, and are we doing business till he comes? Because we read that his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Those are unbelievers. That probably represents the Jewish nation and the leaders of the Jewish nation, but it also represents the Romans that crucified the Lord. We will not. And friend, I just plead with you today, if you're one who has had that attitude of rebellion, change your attitude, become one that he can commit this work of occupying till he comes to. Trust in the Lord. He is coming again. You are going to meet him. You'll either meet him as your judge, or you'll meet him as your Savior. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word and upon this program. We pray for thy blessing upon everything that has been of thyself. We'd like to see people drawn to the Lord through this program. So we commit the word to thee in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Our mailing address again is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.